Maybe just remind someone next to you quickly. You are free. Just tell him, hey man, you are free. So no moping, no looking sad, no nothing of that. You need to be free. You know, so sometimes I think the devil comes so subtly and he puts stuff on us. And he goes like, you know, you're not good enough. You know, you shouldn't be here. You know, maybe I should kill you. Whatever. Oh, come on, there's people that really struggle with what the devil comes. And unless you prophesy the promise of God over your life, that thing will sit on you. Hy het in die week gedink hy gaan frik. Dis Afrikaans daai. There is lies. You know, we still have an enemy of our souls, don't we? Do you know that the devil wants to take you out? Do you know this? But you know God has saved you for a purpose and a plan to fulfill what He wants to do in this world through your life? You know, when I was a BC, you know, before Christ, I was on the devil's agenda. I wanted to do what he wants to do. Now I'm on Christ's agenda. Now I want to do what he wants to do. I'm no longer that dude. I've been set free. Just remind someone again. Come on. Just say, hey. Hagen is alleen. Niemand het vir Hagen al gesê hy is vry nie. Okay, almal sê vir Hagen hy is vry. You know, this week, can we have a freedom week? Every time you see family, if you speak to someone that's in your spiritual family, just say to them, hey, just by the way, you're free. Can I just remind you, you are free. Look like it. Nah? Sometimes we need to look like we're free. And maybe the world will like us then. No, they won't. Jesus said in this world, they're not going to like us. All right, so I want to ask you a question. Maybe you should turn to someone and, you know, if you have to confess now. But what is your level of stubbornness? Ons wil nie weet nie. Jy kan vir hom sê en dan kan hy repent daarso. But how stubborn are you? Do you consider yourself a stubborn person? Yes or no? I'm never stubborn. Look, my wife is smiling. She's just going, oh, he's so oulik. You know, he's saved. He's been set free from all his stubbornness. If only. You know, this is sometimes, if you have children, then getting them into a bath is something sometimes like that, you know. Many wives feel like this with their husbands. In that, you know, any case, we will have a confession session later. But stubbornness, we all struggle with it in one form or another in our lives, right? We cannot. I think there's no one that can sit here that I'm just all good. I'm never stubborn. You know, even if you just believe about something, you know, that you have a conviction about something, you will become stubborn about that point. And you will fight for it, you will hold on to it. And it will be like trying to get that donkey to a bath. And you know what's so encouraging is when we read the Bible is that we see there are many stubborn peoples in Scripture. And the Israelites are a stubborn nation. Nah? I mean, thank God for His patience in walking with that nation. You know, because so many times, you know, He had the power. He could just wipe them out and start all over again. And through their stubbornness, he encounters them in various times. And the same thing happens here in Isaiah 30. And I just want to read this first portion of Scripture for us quickly. It says, "Ah, stubborn children, declares the Lord." Opening statement to the Lord speaking to you. "Ah, stubborn children." Sounds like a nice word following. "Who can carry out a plan... who carry out a plan but not mine, and who make an alliance but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, who set out to go to Egypt without asking my direction, to take refuge in the protection of Pharaoh and to seek shelter in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the protection of Pharaoh turn to your shame and the shelter of the shadow of Egypt to your humiliation. That's a strong word that God comes and he speaks to Israel here. And he actually says to them, there's four things that he accuses them here. Firstly, that they try and do a plan, but not his. So many times in our lives, don't we? We think about something, we get an idea, and we run with it. And we did not even consult God in that process. We've got this plan. You know how many times in my life you kind of can see the plan? You know, they can see sort of we do this thing and everything works out. And this is exactly what they are doing here, is they are pursuing this plan, but it's not God's plan for their lives. You know what's the sad thing about what happens when we do that in our lives? Is when we hit the brick wall, then we blame God. And then he goes, but that wasn't my plan. You didn't even ask me. And what I'm saying today, in this rushed life that we are in at the moment, you know, I think we need to pause more and go, God, what is your plan for my life? All right? The second thing he says, you make an alliance, but not of my spirit. In other words, you go in partnership with people, but it's not my spirit instructing you to do that. You know, they would make agreements with nations around them for certain purposes and whatever, you know, maybe they've got water and we've got sheep, so we trade our sheep. And God says, you go into that alliances, but you didn't do it. It's not my spirit guiding you in that. You know, so much so more for us today, as the children of God who are led by a spirit, do we make alliances, plans? That is not his plan. Then he says, you go to Egypt, but you don't ask for my direction. Sometimes we just get going. But we did not even take the time to wait on God for the direction, to show us the way. You know, we are, as humans, can be so, I guess, presumptuous sometimes that we think we can know, we know what to do. Now we can run and what all these things. And then the fourth thing is, you take protection with Pharaoh. In other words, you trust an outside source for protection. Now, if you look at this portion of Scripture, what is God actually accusing them of? Except for being stubborn. They are being stubborn not to pursue Him. They are being stubborn not to seek His face in everything, not to pursue Him, not to lean on in His Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, lead and guide me. And I guess this is a question for us as a church today is, are we trusting that other stuff? Are we just running ahead of God in our daily lives? You know, have we become stubborn? And are we not pursuing? You know, maybe you generally pursuing God, but you've got this area in your life that you're saying, and I've got this. It's okay. You know, your natural gifts and talents makes you actually do this quite easily, and you kind of lean on your own knowledge and your own understanding, and you fail to trust Him for the plan and the alliances and direction and protection and everything. You know, I guess even in a world where things are going a bit haywire, just the protection thing, do we really trust God for our protection? Fully. Fully. That's a scary question because we can discuss that and we can discuss a few scenarios and say, but will you trust God with this and will you trust God with that? Maybe we'll do that in the small groups this week is just to maybe say, but where would you not trust God? Do we really trust Him for our protection, direction, for the plan, for the people that He needs to connect us with? And God goes, Israel, you are stubborn. You are a stubborn nation. He's trying to counsel him. He's saying, stop it. Just focus on me. You know, in this life, it's so easy to get that this life becomes about, you know, our retirement or our cars or the house that we want to buy or the financial investments or, you know, there's so many pressures and planning that we do in this day, but are we fully leaning on God here? Distractions are so easy. I mean, all of us face it. You know, you think you're going well, everything is going okay, and then you realize, whoo, I've walked away. Years ago, we were still living up in Joburg at that time, and me and Laurette's brother took the road to George, and there's a fork in the road at some point. I can't remember just after one, what's a dorp it now is, but there's this fork. And my dad warned me, he said, you must look out for this. It's a slight split, but if you miss it, then you miss it, you know. And me and him were driving, we were chatting, we were having fun, you know. He was just standing there in the car using about a liter of oil. And at some point I said to him, but listen, this road doesn't look familiar to me anymore. And I missed it. And I missed that split. And here I'm driving. In the middle of nowhere, I've got no clue where they are. And you know that when something like that happens in your life, what do you have to do? You either have to make that U-turn, returning to God, you need to turn around. Or what happened to us, we got to the next dorp in the middle of who knows where, and I said, how do I get to the N1? And hulle sê, wat maak jy hier? I said, I missed it. And we had to, they gave us directions, and we drove down this little pikey. I think we drove just over 100 kilometers dry on that. We missed the N1. You know, maybe N2. What's it? 3. N4. I've got a 3. I've got a 3. 4. Okay. Anyway, so we missed everything. And when you miss the plans of God in your life, don't fall apart. It's not over. Just stop. Turn around. Get back to God. And it's interesting, here in Isaiah 30, and you can go read this, how God now actually speaks to them and say, but you're placing your trust in Pharaoh and all these other things, and they are not going to work. Stop it. Why are you trusting in them? Why are not you're not just turning to me? And then in verse 15 of chapter 30, he gets to this scripture and he says, for this says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel. And this is the Amplified version. He says, in returning to me and resting in me, you shall be saved. In quietness and trusting, confidence shall be your strength. And then he says, but you would not. Who harakwas can you be? How can we sometimes stick to our guns when God is clearly giving an invitation? And this is his problem here with Israel. He's trying to engage them. He's trying to speak to them and say, my children, come closer to me. But they will not. They are a stubborn nation. They've got the plan figured out. You know, we've got our gods. We've got our stuff that we do. You know, I've got my planning and my stuff. You know, my 10-year plan. I'm sticking to it. And that's the end. How stubborn can we not be sometimes? You know, maybe even in what God is calling us to in this time, in this generation right now, maybe we're holding on to stuff that we did in a certain way years ago. Let it go. Maybe God just wants to do something different today. Maybe he wants to impact this world in a different way. I do not think it's over Zoom. He will use that too. But that's not church. This is church. This is the gathering of the saints. I cry almost when people tell me, I was in church on Sunday and I said, yeah, where? No, I watched the video. Then I'm like, don't tell me you went to church. You were watching a video. That's not church. That's not the gathering of the saints. That's not people speaking to one another and challenging one another. But how can we move on from our stubbornness? And here God gives us this invitation. He speaks to his people. Firstly, he says to them, listen, stop being stubborn. Stop placing your trust in other things and just get back to me. And then here in verse 30, he says, ha. Now, there's a few things that I just want to take out from this portion of Scripture, which I believe will help us at this time to return to the Lord in all the areas of our lives. And listen, can I just be honest? Me as a pastor, I'm not exempt from this. Life happens. And this Scripture was probably because I needed to hear God. And now you're hearing it. The first thing that verse 15 starts off, he says, this says the Lord. I guess the question is, when is the last time that God spoke to you? When last did you hear him? Or what is he saying to you right now for your life? What is the plan? What is the alliances? You know, how is he protecting you? What is he doing in your life? What is his word to you right now? And are you hearing him? And if you are hearing him, are you listening to him? As he says to you, my son and my daughter, turn left here or turn right there. Or are we stubborn in the way that we want to do things? You know, can I use the coffee shop in Sunday evenings? But that's not church, Quibus. Maybe that's something different that God wants to do in our generation and how he's leading the leadership to do this. And maybe you should engage it. And you might just see a miracle happen in your life. I don't know. By the way, the coffee there is good and the kayer is even better. You know, maybe you should just slow down for a change. Turn off some things, stop doing other things, and just hear God speak. You know, if I sit you down now and say, listen, can you write down what you believe God is saying to you at this time? Can you write it down for me? Can you say, this is what God is saying to me? This is where I need to turn left. This is what he's saying to you in my personal life. This is what he's saying to me in my work. This is what he's saying to my family. Because listen, he wants to be God of all, right? He wants to speak to every part of your life. Hearing the Lord speak to you, this is the crucial part of success. This is what you want to hear. So he starts off, this is what the Lord God says. Hear what the Lord is saying to you today. And then the second thing he's saying, he says, return to me. He says, actually, in returning to me. In other words, in the process of returning to me, there will be change. There will be success. There will be transformation. There will be stuff that changed. You know, it might be a moment, but it may be in the process as I'm returning to him that stuff will shift in my life. It's in returning to him. But I need to return to him. Maybe your heart's grown cold over, you know, I don't know what. Maybe COVID has messed you up. Maybe you're battling. He says, return to me. You know, maybe you've become weary at something that's happening at work or in your family, you know, or whatever. And he says, listen, return to me. And it's in returning to me that there will be things that change. But isn't this an amazing invitation from Father God again? Say, listen, just come. Just come to me. Just come sit at my feet. Return to me. We need to return to him and that he is the center of our lives, that he is the lover of our soul. And when we do that, our strength, vitality, and passion will change and return, and it will be amazing as we just connect with him. Is he not, after all, the author and the finisher of your faith? Is he not the one that is walking with you, that saved you for his purposes? So in returning to him, you know, when we return to him, we'll see his purpose and destiny even just coming to fruition again. We will see it unfold. So don't get weary. Don't get dismayed about what is happening in your life, or maybe you're struggling and stuff and it doesn't seem like stuff. Don't get dismayed with that stuff. Return to him. Hear his voice as he speaks to you. And then the next one, this is an easy one. This one we can do easy. Rest in Him. You know? So we all hear this word, it goes, you know, rest in Him. And then we go home and we switch on the TV. Quink. Put our feet up. Park off. I'm resting in the Lord. Some of you do that in your quiet time, you know, in the morning. You maybe get up and you can sit on the couch or whatever. I'm going to rest in the Lord. And then half an hour later, you wake up. Oh, none of you. Okay, great. Yes, awesome. But see, resting in Him is not in front of the TV. Resting in Him doesn't mean now I must go camp in the bush or, you know, go sit long next to the ocean. When I rest in Him, it's amazing how He takes my concerns and my worries and He deals with it. How He brings freedom in it. How in resting in Him, it's almost that casting off of the stuff that's in my life. And I go, God, here it is. What? Psh, I can't fix this. Will You please take care of it? The very things that we are battling, when I rest in Him, He comes on the scene and He changes everything. It means that I focus on Him. You know, it's like having a heart-to-heart with a close friend. And then the burden is lifted. When I rest in Him, I can talk to Him. I can just sit there. You know, how many times did you, you know, struggle with something and then you set up a coffee or whatever with someone and you just have a lack of chat? And when you walk out there, suddenly you've got new perspective, things have changed, I don't know, and you feel different. And when I rest in Him, I go and I make time and I say, God, I'm just here to rest in You, just to hear Your voice, just to hear Your heartbeat again. And you know, sometimes if we slow down, we will just hear different things. But no, wait, I need to Google something when I'm resting in Him. No, I dare you. Try and switch your phone off for a half an hour or an hour. It's just like in not airplane mode. Kill it. And then put it in the kitchen or somewhere. Not next to you on the couch. And then you go and you say, Father, I bring everything that is bothering me now. And I just lay it at Your feet. And I just want to hear Your voice. And then you take a proper Bible. You know that thing that you still can do this? Paper version. Do you remember what paper is? You know, you have to flip it. You can't. Or double tap and something happens. You have to. It's hard work, I know. You know, this finger needs to now, and your arm needs to move, goodness sake, not the arm. But listen, take that moment and sit there with your Bible with a highlighter and a journal and highlight and write down what God is saying to you in that time. And you might just rest in Him. And He might just speak to you. And I think sometimes we want to have our quiet time, and this is not a bad thing, on the way to town. Why? Because you're already getting up at 5 o'clock, and now you're going to town, and that's your quiet time. And you know, there's some people that pull that off. But it's a place where you have to go into your inner room, shut the door, lock the thing, and spend time with Him. Just a basic part of Christianity. And then the next one, which ladies have no problem with, is in quietness. You know, when we have small group now, and Laurette hates this about the way that I sometimes do small group, I'll ask a question or something in small group, and then I'll wait. I'll just sit there. And then people get uncomfortable. And then I wait some more. You know, if you do worship in small group and at the end of worship, you know, we are so in our way of doing that, we pray and we carry on. And then sometimes I just wait. I just do nothing. And you hear fidgeting. You know, nobody knows what to do. And we are so challenged in our overload in this world that quietness doesn't happen. You know, when last have you heard the birds sing? This morning, good. When last have you heard his voice in that quietness? Just that no other noise. You see, it's because when I'm quiet, I can actually listen. And when I'm quiet, sometimes I hear stuff I don't hear other times as well, in the noise. And then I can maybe just hear his voice as he speaks to me. You know, you might even hear just the cry of another person. God just might tuck in your heart to do something for someone in that quietness. And your life will change and other people's lives will be transformed. But just be quiet sometimes. You know, and I know some homes it's maybe difficult because, you know, there's 20 people living in the house and when the one's up and it's chaos. But find your spot where you can just be quiet and wait upon the Lord. And then the next thing he says in that portion of Scripture, entrusting confidence. Now, it's one thing to have confidence, right? It's a different thing to have trusting confidence. I place my full trust in him. And I have confidence in that he will do what he will do in my life. Confidence, as we know it today, will help us achieve what we need to achieve, right? It's difficult to work with someone that don't have confidence. Sometimes confidence, you know, if someone is too confident, you say he's arrogant. But arrogance is not confidence. Sometimes you really need to be confident in what you're doing. And I believe as I trust him and as I build my confidence in him, it will change my confidence in how I walk before him. Even my boldness. But it's rooted in trusting in him. But I need to trust him. I need to be confident in him. And maybe there's people, you know, even maybe that will watch this video later, that, you know, you cannot say that you have confidence in God. And this is what he's inviting us back to, is to say, listen, in trusting confidence, let's move forward. Have confidence in me. You see, when I have confidence in him, I'm definitely not having confidence in my own abilities. Then he empowers me to do what I need to do. In Colossians 3 verse 17, there's this scripture in the TPT version. So the TPT version just writes it a bit differently. And in verse 17 it says this, let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. You see, when I stop being stubborn, when I return to the Lord, when I come and I receive his invite and I sit in his presence and I return to him, my confidence is in him, my life is transformed, then my life, every activity of my life will be drenched with the beauty of Jesus Christ. Such a beautiful picture, is it not? There's that invitation, that bringing that closeness to God. That when we do have that, that the beauty of Jesus just kind of pops out of us. Just shines. We actually become that mirrors reflecting his glory. Let every activity of your lives, every activity. What does every activity mean? Some of them, right? Every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips. Ooh, does it say every word? Oh, no. It comes from your lips. Be drenched with the beauty of your Lord Jesus. Does someone have that scripture at Yom Lani Amplified? Okay, can you read it for us quickly?
And whatever you do, no matter what it is, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus and in dependence upon his person, giving praise to God the Father through him.
So he says, whatever you do, in everything that you do. Saints, may we not forget that we are called to walk before God in this way. That every area, every facet of our lives are supposed to reflect his glory. You know, there's no place for a white lie or, you know, something that's not there. Scripture still says, be holy as I'm holy. That's a tough scripture. The standard is holiness. Boom. Not almost. So it doesn't mean that I can skip a stop street. Because it's just a stop street. No one else stops at a stop street. You know, or drive 70 in a 60 zone because I'm almost at 60. But, you know, and the cutoff is like 68. So, you know, I'm just 2 km over the thing. We'll give an altar call for those with a heavy right foot just now. But does that not put every activity in a bit of a different... Because when we think activity, we link it to the church or something. I don't know. You know, every activity, how do you speak to your wife? How do you speak to your children? How do you speak to your parents? What's your interaction look like between people? Is everything that I'm doing drenched with the beauty of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is tough. This is the call of Christ. No one that comes to him and says, man, I love my family more is worthy of the kingdom. It's that dying, that complete dying to myself and saying, God, let every activity of my life bring glory to you. Thank God that that's a process sometimes. But you know what? I think what God is inviting us to today is, let's just get back to the main thing. Get the main thing again, which is him. In every facet of our lives, let our lives be full of the glory of Jesus Christ. So I believe the Lord just wants to give us an invitation this morning. You know, and I can say, I need this invitation. Because I know, you know, in the last couple of weeks, it was rough, man. Life happens. And then the Holy Spirit comes and he says, listen, hey. You know, it's like I was playing there on the grass and God was sitting here and he goes, hey. And I can go, oh, but it's lucky. He said, Domiki, Lord, and there's inkies. Now he goes, come sit here. Just come hear my heart. Receive my plans. Let me guide you in your alliances and what you need to do. Let me instruct you in the way that you should go. And I go, Father, sorry, I got distracted with the stuff. Let me just return to you. But we can, and we need to be careful not to respond from that place of stubbornness. Because I'm busy with important stuff. You know, that's a funny thing. I was busy with important stuff. It's kingdom stuff. And then he goes, come back in order. Yo, you can pray for me. Clearly, I need help. But saints, so easily we drift, don't we? So easily we get distracted by the things of this world. Other things become important. And all he's going is, come here. So I want to encourage you, do take that challenge series to switch off your phone and to get a proper Bible, the paper version. Pass your Bible. Yeah, and Diana, look at these Bibles. They are abused. I know Nandi's one is falling apart. Can we come back to the simple things of being in his presence? So that today I want to invite you to respond to that invitation. I want to say to you, hear God speak and make time to hear Him. Get rid of the distractions and return to Him. Return to Him. Because it's only in returning to Him that we will be able to face the next season. That we can do what He's calling us to do.